Welcome to the Sportscast, June 11th, 2018, a special podcast. We're talking World Cup, and we're also going to discuss NBA Finals, what happened. And here here our first-time guest, our local guest, BJ Posadas. Hey, BJ, welcome to the Sportscast.
That's right. Thanks for the welcome, man. I'm more than happy to be here.
So, BJ, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? What do you do, etc.?
I mean, I'm a South Florida real estate agent. That's basically everything I do. Aside from that, I mean, I'm just like a, you know, young professional, always looking to expand my network, definitely an avid sports fan, big into fitness, and big into trying new things like this podcast.
Yeah, man. A lot going on. NBA Finals ended pretty quick. A sweep. Were you surprised, or were you kind of... This could have happened.
Man, I was surprised, honestly. I thought at least, you know, LeBron and the Cavs would get, you know, would get one game. I didn't think a sweep after, you know, such a great run in the playoffs. To go out like that was kind of disappointing. But I think a lot of that had to do with that first game. The fashion in which they lost was just so demoralizing and such a letdown that I think their confidence as a club, you know, after that was pretty much shot. On top of that, they're playing a team where you can't afford to have a loss like that or make any mistakes. So that didn't help either. Because once the Warriors get going, I mean, they just heat up. And you know what happens after that.
You know, there was talk, or we found out after the last game, that LeBron had a broken hand playing after game one. Do you think that affected the series? Or do you think, yeah?
I don't know, man. I think that was a little bit of a... I mean... It could have been an injury that might have played some role, but to be honest, I think that was a little bit of a kind of show after the fact. You know, like you saw in the press conference, he was talking about his broken hand, but he was kind of waving it around and like putting it on the table. It didn't seem like it was that big of a deal that it made me, you know, would have affected things because he still played pretty good. I mean, I think we can agree. So I don't know about that. You know, I mean, the guy's done everything for the team. He kind of got left out there dry in the finals, and I feel bad for him. So I don't know if it was just a broken hand, but
I don't know. My song with the cast, and I didn't see that move he made, but I think, you know, I think if they would have won game one, it would have set the tone a little bit better. I think after losing game one, psychologically the team wasn't there, and I really am with Legler from ESPN that said, you know, LeBron's facing a juggernaut. You know, this team is a super team. The Warriors are built. Plus, you know, getting Kevin Durant was a plus. Though I still think the Warriors are good without Kevin Durant.
Right. Right. Well, they said he broke his hand, right, because he punched the wall after game one. Like, that's how bad it was. So it wasn't just that the team, like, made mistakes. Coach had a timeout he could have called. Other players could have called a timeout. J.R. Smith went running to who knows where. But then you got your best player punching a wall, and the injury came from that game one. I think that game one was a real big opportunity that was blown. And after that, man, it just it was all downhill from there to the point where they even quit. I mean, it looked like they quit in game four, didn't they?
They did. I think game four, I think they just, you know, didn't even try. I mean, they might have been leading in by 2 points or a point or two. But other than that, I mean, game three was critical. Game two was critical, but it's hard to stop the Warriors. You think LeBron is going to come back to Cleveland, or what's your hunch?
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a big part of him that wants to leave. I mean, because how much can really change from what they have going on this season to next season? I don't know if they have room to make any big moves, whereas all these other teams have some scenarios that they can put together where I think they can, you know, get a better team on the floor than what the Cavs were this year in the finals. And the thing is, yeah, you could stay and save yourself some scrutiny for leaving again, but that's just going to put you in the same scenario as this year, where you're playing a mega dynasty now in the Warriors. What are you going to do about that? You're LeBron James. You're thinking about legacy at this point. You know, what are you going to do when you know on the other side is arguably the best team ever put together? So it's like you want to do what's best for yourself, but you know, you only have limited years of playing time left. What can you possibly do to beat this team? Or else, I mean, no one likes to lose.
No one likes to lose. And I think it's just so hard to leave Cleveland again. It's just, you got to stick with it. But at the other end is, you know, does Cleveland have the resources to get more players? I mean, I've been hearing they don't, you know, they're kind of like locked out a little bit unless they do some trades, but it's very disappointing to see them. I mean, he brought one championship to Cleveland. That's great. And also one thing, LeBron, you know, just never had a good coach, never had a good, I mean, you can say the Heat had a good leadership with the Heat, but other than that, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I've been here in Houston.
Houston? Yeah, I mean, I think we've heard a little bit of everything, right? We've heard Miami, Houston. I heard the Spurs
I heard New York Knicks.
in an effort to keep Kawhi Leonard, the Lakers, if he goes to the West. But you know what? It doesn't get any easier because next year you got this guy. His name's Kyrie Irving, and he's got a sidekick that was also hurt. And they're coming to a team that like really showed what they're made of without their stars. It's not going to be as easy to run through the East next year, with that Boston team, you know.
Yeah.
At full force. So, I mean, he's got to do something.
We'll see the true Boston next year with Kyrie healthy and hopefully Hayward healthy. I think Boston did well. I'm seeing Philadelphia and Boston really going forward, moving forward as becoming the top two teams in the East. And the West is just so strong right now. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. The World Cup this week. Are you excited?
Bro, I'm so pumped, dude. There's nothing better to me than, you know, growing up as a soccer fan, soccer being my favorite sport, the one sport, you know, that I play on the regular, way for every 4 years, ever since I went to the 94 World Cup when I was a kid. I mean, it's kind of in my blood. Like, it's tough to get work done during the World Cup season because those games fall right during, you know, normal working hours. But, you know, luckily we have the internet, cell phone, I'll be able to keep up.
You played in high school, didn't you?
Right. I played in high school, but
and also some in college, right?
yeah, walked on to the Nova team during the spring one season. Fell had a falling out with the coach and kind of left it at that from there, but never stopped playing the game, you know.
Which games did you go to in 94? Do you remember?
Yeah, I saw Maradona score his last goal in a World Cup. It was Argentina Greece. That was amazing. Quarterfinal, Spain and Italy. Went to Bolivia, I think it was Bolivia, South Korea, saw Echeverri do his thing. And I might be forgetting one game. It might have been Argentina, Nigeria, without Maradona because he got caught and kicked out of that World Cup. But nevertheless, man, it was so sick. Had such a great time.
Wow, so you went to a couple of games.
Right. Should have went to six. I got sick, so I missed out on two, but I went to four.
That's a once in a lifetime. I
Yeah.
mean, I was 9 years old. You're probably around the same age. And when it comes back in 26, which we'll find out Wednesday, I'll definitely got to catch a game.
Yeah, we'll go to some games. Did you hear Venezuela, Colombia's coming to
Yes,
post
I
World Cup?
yeah, which I got tagged on that. That should be a huge one. Who do you think will have a better turnout, Colombia or
I
Venezuela?
don't know, man. I'm gonna go with Colombia just because the Colombians, it doesn't matter where they go. They have a solid following and a lot of passion. Not to say that Venezuela doesn't, but I think, you know, I was pretty impressed when Brazil played Colombia last time here in Miami, and I went to that game, and I think there were more Colombians.
I think it was like 98% Colombian. It had to be
Right.
95. I mean, you would think a lot of Brazilians would come because there's a lot of
And there
Brazilians
were
here in
plenty.
South Florida. But the Colombian team was it was all yellow. Well, obviously Brazil is yellow, but it was all Colombian yellow. So I was really surprised at the turnout. Obviously, that was like after I think it was 2014 in the fall. I think that same World Cup year after the World Cup, and Colombia had a good impression and went to the quarterfinals. And it was her first World Cup since 1998, so it was a while. So we're gonna run through each group, and you name me your top two, and if you want, you can name third and fourth. All right.
Sounds good.
Egypt. Okay, for Group A, Egypt, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. Who are your top two?
I'm gonna go with Uruguay and Egypt, just because those two teams. Well, Uruguay's, you know, always a tough out. They show up in the World Cups. They have some star power with Cavani and Suarez up top. You can't count them out. And then Egypt, you know, this Salah's having just one of the most impressive years I think we've seen from somebody other than Messi or Ronaldo in quite some time. And you know, he's got some ground to make up after being hurt in that Champions League final. So I think those two teams are the strongest two teams in those group in that group.
I'm going to say Uruguay, Russia. Well, gosh. That's a tough one because, well, Mosala is coming in a little bit injured. I think he might play the first game, actually. So that might be a good sign for Egypt. And Egypt tied Colombia 0-0 without Salah. So it seems like they're a good team.
Right.
I mean, but...
You know, when it comes to the World Cup, you usually need that. You need that one guy, you know, who's going to step up. Because, I mean, these are, you know, high. You know, this is like the highest level aside from club soccer. But, I mean, just in general, these are all pro players who know how to play the game. As long as their nerves don't get too hot and they, you know, don't show up. I mean, it comes down to like who's gonna make that big play? Who's gonna, you know, who can put the team on their back offensively and pump a couple goals? And Uruguay definitely has that. But I mean, this guy is a proven star all year. He's just playing out of his mind.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Russia is not a good team. I know. I mean, I'm picking them because they're the home team. But I want to change Uruguay to Egypt because it seems like Russia does not have much stars there. Group B consists of Iran, Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. Who are your top two?
I mean, I think that's an easy answer there. I don't see Iran or Morocco beating the likes of Portugal led by Cristiano and Spain with that insane roster. Easy answer there. Spain and Portugal.
Yeah, I'm saying first place Spain, then Portugal, which the first match is Portugal-Spain, so that should be a nice treat for an opening game. I heard Morocco is pretty good, but they're not good enough to get out of the group. Group C, Australia, France, Peru, and Denmark.
I mean, France's team is, I mean, they're probably actually the team that has the most firepower at every position. What I think they lack is a little bit of leadership, but they'll definitely come out of that group. And
at second, you got Australia, Peru, and Denmark.
You know, that's a toss up, man. I don't
because Denmark just beat Mexico 2-0,
right?
Saturday,
Denmark
so they're looking
looks
good.
You know, I don't know, man. They show up in the World Cups. What are your thoughts?
I'm gonna say France for sure, and I'm gonna go for Peru. I think Peru has that hunger.
They got Guerrero back.
They got Guerrero back. They got some confidence. I think Denmark's a good team, but I think Peru's gonna pull it out.
Australia shows up in the World Cups as well. I mean, they did well last time.
Yeah, but I don't think they're gonna come out of the group. They might get third at best. So, who's your second place team
in that group?
Yeah. Or you think France would be second?
No, I think France would definitely be first. And I think I'll go with Denmark. I mean, they look good against Mexico.
Okay, so you got France and Denmark. Group D, Argentina, Croatia, Iceland, and Nigeria.
Well, definitely not Iceland. I mean, I haven't heard much from the Iceland camp.
Nigeria, which they went deep in the Euros 2 years ago. They went to
Nigeria is, again, one of those, you know, those African teams. They fare well in the World Cup. I mean, I got to go with Argentina just because they have
Messi,
the best player to ever lace them up. I honestly want to say Argentina, Nigeria, man.
I'm gonna go Argentina, Iceland. I think Iceland definitely went deep. There is a following behind them, though. I could see them choke at the same time. African teams, I'm totally different from you. I think African teams choke in the World Cups because typically they have a huge scandal if they're not paying their players. So the players lack motivation to play. Croatia's a good team. They have Rakitic, I think.
Modric.
And Modric. So, I mean, they do have a good squad, but they're going to battle out with Iceland. But I'm going to pick Iceland. I think Iceland is definitely a motivated small island. Group E, Brazil, Costa Rica, Serbia, and Switzerland.
I mean, how about the surprise of Costa Rica last World Cup? So, I mean, they, you know, these Latin American teams have a lot of passion, and when they get an opportunity to show it on the world stage, they there's usually one that's unexpectedly does very well in the World Cup. For that reason, I'll pick Costa Rica, and then I'm picking Brazil to win the whole thing, so I'll take Brazil first.
Oh,
for sure.
He said it early, everyone. Brazil is going to take the World Cup. I pick Brazil, and I want to. I mean, Costa Rica is a weaker team from 4 years ago. Yes, they're a good team still, and they got Navas from that plays for up in Spain. But I'm going to say Brazil. I'm going to say Brazil, Costa Rica. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say third place, Switzerland. Serbia is not a good team, trust me. Group F, Germany, Mexico, South Korea, Sweden. I'll be the first to say this. I'm going to say Germany, Mexico. Mexico never disappoints in the World Cup.
It's true. It's true. They got robbed. They got robbed last World Cup, right, with Robin and that Oscar
well,
dive in the World Cup.
Every fan says they got robbed every World Cup.
Yeah, it's true. But they do. You're right. They don't disappoint. They do not disappoint when it comes to the World Cup. And they have some good players on that team. Germany is just, you know, that's that juggernaut that you can't ever count out. And they might actually make a run for the whole thing as well. I mean, if not Brazil, probably Germany.
Those are my top two, actually.
Really?
Either Germany, Brazil, and I'll name my dark horse once we reach them, but they're not. I mean, we haven't talked about them.
Right. I'm over here spoiling everything.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Well, okay. So you say Germany and Mexico.
Yep.
Sweden is a favorite, like amongst a lot of journalists, but I don't think they'll do it. Group G, we got Belgium, England, Tunisia, and Panama. Who are your top two?
You got to go with Belgium. They have a nice squad, nice roster. They got some, big name players. Eden Hazard, I think, is waiting for his moment to come out. And if it's not now, then I don't know when. And then England, you know, again, another team with a real solid roster. I don't see a team like Tunisia or Panama beating either of those two teams out for top two spots in that group.
You're saying Belgium, England?
Belgium, England, yeah.
I'm going to say for sure Belgium. And I'm going to for sure say England. I could see Panama being the dark horse, maybe the spoiler, but I'm going to stick with Belgium and England.
I mean, we have seen England disappoint plenty of World Cups.
No doubt. But this squad seems like they're healthy, but, I mean, they're young. They got Harry Kane. They got Dele Alli. And a few young players, but you just never know. It's just something happens in the tournament. Internal, you know, it's always internal. Group H, Colombia, Japan, Poland, Senegal. Who do you think?
I'm going to go with Colombia. You know, I'm a little biased there being half Colombian, but they do also have a good team coming off a good show in last World Cup. They got Falcao this time. I think they feel like they have their full squad, which they didn't really have at the last World Cup.
And they still look good.
And they look good, yeah.
They still do good.
And then, you know,
Poland, Senegal, Japan.
I lean towards these African teams when it comes to the World Cup.
Like, you like the African teams, don't you?
Yeah.
Ghana, last World Cup.
Right. We've seen, you know, Ghana. We've seen Ivory Coast. We've seen Nigeria. You know, you've seen these teams step up where they were kind of counted out in past World Cups. So I'm going to lean towards Senegal and Colombia for this group.
That's not a bad pick. I'm not really convinced of Poland. I think everyone's picking Poland to get out of the group. I think Colombia for sure will get number one place. The first game is against Japan. Japan's very fit. You know, they're very active. But I think it would be Colombia, Poland. Colombia first, second place, Poland third. Senegal has Mane from Liverpool. He's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they got a few other players. I think they plays in Italy and also Spain. Japan, I don't have her much. I don't think that they're stars from England or anything, but probably in Germany. But okay, so I say Colombia and Poland, and you say Colombia, Senegal. That is group. Wait, hold on. We missed. Where's the Spain group?
There it is.
Oh, well, that's right. Well, my dark horse was Spain.
I don't know if you can call that a dark horse, man.
I mean, dark horse is a team that no one expects.
Right. But
Senegal.
I think a lot of players expect Spain to probably take the entire cup. You can't call them a dark horse.
Yeah, I can't. Well, they're my third option. Yeah, which is his last World Cup.
Right. That roster is absolutely amazing, man. I mean, from top to bottom. So,
who's your third option besides Germany and Brazil?
Germany, Brazil, Spain. Yeah. Those are definitely my top three. I feel like you look at the field, you really can't deny that. I mean, it's either Germany, Spain, Brazil, or France. I mean, these four teams stand out amongst the entire field.
I don't see France going deep, maybe quarterfinals at most, because France, I mean, I see them like collapse somewhere. And it's hard to see them win two in a row, to be honest. I mean, I've seen them. Yes, they're probably like the most loaded team, by the way, of stars. France.
Spain? Oh, France?
France is loaded. They got Pogba, they got Giroud, they got Griezmann. And they did go to the final in the Euros 2 years ago, but of course they're not. I mean, like of course they were home. So, okay, so you're saying Brazil and Germany. Do you think it'll be Brazil-Germany final? Which I think it's possible. Which
we've seen before.
We've seen before in
2002. Right. Right. But that could definitely be possible. And I think Brazil, they're just due. They're just due best soccer that we've seen in a while.
And they're more like in their prime. We got Paulinho, Gabriel Jesus, we got Neymar. Now, I think Brazil, you know, could still go deep without Neymar.
Exactly. And I think people really don't, we know Neymar is good, but I don't think people understand how good that kid really is.
You think he'll be the greatest player in the future?
He's definitely kind of poised to win a Ballon d'Or coming up, you know.
After the Ronaldo Messi era?
Once that passes, I mean, there's a guy, yeah, Neymar's definitely on his way. I mean, he's doing some amazing stuff. He came back, played 2 games with the national team, scored 2 goals, scored a ridiculous goal, the last one we saw. And I just think that team, they just have a lot of talent, individual talent.
What do you think about Portugal? Do you think Ronaldo could lead Portugal deep, or you think just...
I think if there is a dark horse, it's probably Portugal or Argentina, just because they have that guy, you know? You need, in a big tournament like this where, you know, emotions are running high, where people are trying to, you know, play their best, there's a lot of passion, and... You know, there's a lot of pressure, so you're going to need that one guy that can literally put the team on his back when it counts and put the ball in the back of the net. And Portugal and Argentina both have that guy.
You're right about it. I mean, if Portugal won, there'll be a dark horse because Portugal's never been to a final, to a World Cup final. They have won the Euros 2 years ago. Do you think, Messi has to win this World Cup, or Ronaldo has to win the World Cup, to, you know, to be considered one of the greatest.
Yeah, right. Like I would love to say no, you know, but there, you know, at the end of the day, you're judged by how, you know, can you carry your team to win some of these big tournaments, and that includes the World Cup, which might be the biggest. And I think that's the one tournament that's escaped both of them thus far. Unfortunately, you know, the rest of the roster kind of isn't up to their level, but you know, you got to figure out a way around that.
You think, you know, some people are saying the Champions League is probably now become more important than the World Cup. Do you think that, you know, you think that's true or
no way? I mean, it's definitely the best tournament on earth, you know, because it's like all-star teams playing each other. But there's nothing like that, the passion that's brought out from a tournament like the World Cup that takes place every 4 years. You know, it's an international tournament where your countries are being represented, and everyone, you know, kind of unites and identifies with the country that they're from or that they're going for, and it's just a completely different, you know, the emotions are just completely different. The Champions League happens every year. I think the fact that this is a every 4 year thing in a, you know, in a different host country, and it's everyone watch. I think there's more of a following because it is so far apart. The World Cup definitely takes the cake when it comes to the best tournament.
Is it me, or do you think Messi needs it more than Ronaldo? It feels like it.
Well, I think so. I think that's the case because Messi's in the argument for the greatest player of all time. Ronaldo's just the greatest player of his era. I mean, anyone that knows soccer.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not talking about awards or statistics. I mean, if you know the game and you watch how these two players play and what they mean to their teams and what they do on the field, one person is an amazing, you know, one of the greatest, you know, will be remembered as one of the greatest players of this era. But you can't, he's not in the conversation for the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, Ronaldo's not in the conversation. Never has been. Messi is.
He does so much more on the field than just score goals.
Yeah, because Ronaldo's more of a striker. Than
a point
like,
man.
Messi is more like a playmaker that could change the game. He could also be a striker, but he's more of like a playmaker.
Right. Right. Ronaldo's more of a, you know, give me the ball in the box and I'm going to put it away.
He's a point man. But to be honest, this past couple of years, Ronaldo has proven a lot in club level and also won the Euros. You know, that was huge because to be honest, no one has ever, you know, you know, dream of Portugal doing anything, of winning any international tournament. And I think how he took his team in the Euros 2 years ago was huge. Now, Messi did took Argentina to a World Cup final, but it's just Argentina was scoring one goal each game. And Germany, you know, just had the firepower. You just can't beat Germany. So.
Yeah. The thing is, like, when you compare those two players, like, there's certain intangibles that statistics on paper can't show.
Right.
Right? And when you hear the experts talk about Messi versus Ronaldo, they're talking about stuff that we don't get to see. Yeah, you know, they're watching these players play in practice. They're watching their preparation. They're seeing the games. And like I said, there's stuff that you can't put on paper in the form of a statistic, but you can internalize when you watch somebody. And basically you'll realize that this person is far better of a talent than the other person that might be putting up the same stats. But if you were to compare or watch both just on the field doing their thing, making plays, you know, putting together passes and bringing the people around them better, making them play better. If you know the game, you would realize that Messi is something special, more than just a great player of the era, but maybe arguably the best of all time. I'm a big Messi fan and a Barcelona fan, but even so, I think Messi is the better of the two.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him get the World Cup, to be honest.
That'd be awesome. It just seems like they're not as – I mean, they're a weaker Argentinian team from 4 years ago. Of course, they got Aguero and they got Di Maria. USA not in this World Cup. Are you kind of down about that? Are you kind of thinking this World Cup might be different because USA is not in it?
Well, I think it's a complete joke, to be honest. I mean, for the USA to just have all the resources, the farm system, you know, investing in better coaches and, you know, so-called better, you know, like you've seen the league improve. You've seen them bring coaches from other countries. To not make the World Cup in such a weak qualifying group, CONCACAF, where they're supposed to be, you know, either the best or second best team, is a digression from where we were, you know, these last, what, 1, 2, 3 World Cups. So I think it's very unfortunate. And, you know, you saw last World Cup how much popularity was gained by them qualifying. You know, you'd go to a local sports bar and you'd think that, you know, it was the Super Bowl or the NFL playoffs. People were, you know, really gathering around this USA team and really becoming fans of the sport. To have them be absent, you know, on the world stage like this for something that only happens every 4 years, where we're supposed to be getting better, you know, it's really unfortunate.
Huge step back, I really do. And it's interesting because you took like a whole different argument because you've been through the system, you've seen it. Like obviously, you play in school and everything, but you're right. USA does have the resources. Right. It's not like we're lacking behind. Like, you know, there's tons of kids playing soccer. It's just that we just choked, you know?
Really choked. I mean, I think, what was it, Trinidad and Tobago? We had to win. I mean, who's
it was bad.
Who's not even, you know, one of the harder teams in, you know, that they would have to get through to qualify.
A lot of those players play in, like, second and third division.
Right.
And we had players like Pulisic playing that match, and a lot of these players play overseas and some of the MLS. But MLS has done, I mean, way better now than it was before. We're actually helping a lot of CONCACAF teams because majority of the Panamanian teams play, I mean, like the national team plays in the MLS. So, but yeah, it's a big, big thing, and hopefully we'll get 2026 World Cup, which I think is most likely. I heard Morocco. Yeah. Who's going to build 12 stadiums in Morocco and then just use it for 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Which is what they did in Brazil.
It is what they did in Brazil. Well, they had the Olympics, so I guess they had another.
It's a cash grab, you know. That's what it is. But, yeah, this World Cup is going to be special. I think – I'm not feeling it, to be honest, because USA is not in it. I feel a little bit like –
Well, it's just such a huge market team. It means a lot to the sport. It's like imagine if the Olympics, you know,
without USA,
without the US, exactly.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, okay, yeah, I mean, people don't think USA is going to win the World Cup anytime soon, but they are a big, big staple financially. And I've been hearing Fox is not sending like their whole broadcast team to Russia.
They're sending, because of the US being absent?
Yeah, because they're trying to save resources because advertising money is not going to be the same as it was 4 years ago.
That's probably somewhat accurate. I mean,
wow.
When it comes to sports on the world stage, you'd expect the United States to be there. You know, for them to be absent is really it kind of sucks because that's us. That's all of our team. I mean, we live in the U.S. You know, we can talk about these countries that are our families are from, and you always identify with the South American or Latin American or if you're European. But at the end of the day, we're all fans of the United States.
Yeah, deep down. I mean, it's funny you say that because
you want to see them do well.
Exactly. And favorite World Cup moment? Do you have any?
Favorite World Cup moment.
It could be anything that hit, like historically. Maradona's hand of God, whatever.
I got to say, the best World Cup moment was, you know, that last goal that Maradona scored against Greece in that World Cup opener in 94.
Yeah.
I'm literally sitting with my mom and dad in the 10th row, and this guy catches a ball on top of the box and does like a half volley and just scores a ridiculous, ridiculous goal. And he reminds me a lot of Messi today because he's like, he was the smallest guy in the field, and every time he got the ball, something was going to happen. He was either going to get fouled or he was going to make a play. And then when he scored that goal, the stadium erupted, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that, like, how electrifying that moment was. To this day, I always talk about it. And if you look at I think there was a documentary made. It was called Victim or Villain. It was a Maradona documentary.
Yeah, that is a movie. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
There's a famous clip where he's running to the camera, and Argentina's wearing that all blue jersey, and he looks like he just scored a goal, and he's like basically runs like up
demon
to the camera. Yeah, and he looks like he's possessed.
He loved the game. You know, I put him up there with Jordan, and I would just like to say Kobe, but like they have a whole different passion for the game and everything else. Favorite World Cup team.
For this World Cup?
Like, historically. It could be Germany, 1974.
Oh, man. That Brazil team that included Ronaldinho, Rivaldo,
02.
Ronaldo. Was that 02?
That's my favorite World Cup team.
Dude, you can't. That team, Roberto Carlos.
It was unbeatable.
I could go. Yeah. And they were having fun.
They were having fun. Which I think this Brazil team could have that same potential. You know?
Right.
As, like, at that level, but right close to it. Because I think like a lot of them are young, they're gonna have fun, but we'll see.
Right, back to and you know what? Another World Cup moment that I really liked, Zidane against Brazil, and I think it was the semis or the quarters or the semis.
It was in the quarterfinals in 2006. That's another good World Cup moment.
Right, where Zidane just showed his just pure class, just completely dominant with stars all across the board. Again, Ronaldinho. Again, Ronaldo Lima.
That was like an older Brazil team.
Right, but this guy was the best player in that tournament, the best player in that game, and he completely showed out. It was a shame that they ended up going to the finals and he decides to headbutt someone in the chest.
Very similar to LeBron James.
Because I think because I think if he doesn't if he can compose himself not to let that happen, he not only wins the best player in the cup, but I think the team wins the World Cup, and he'll go to, and his legacy would be even that much better.
Which winning two World Cups is tough,
right?
Winning one is like pretty much enough for some players. But yeah, that is our World Cup moment. Really quick, Michael Jordan and LeBron, who is the GOAT?
I think the GOAT is still Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know,
if LeBron would have won it, they would have.
LeBron's story is not finished. You know, we don't know what happens in the next 2 years. He's playing out of his mind. At the moment, so to say that for the next 2 years, let's say he's gonna drop off at some large amount to where we wouldn't see the same output on the floor is kind of doesn't make any sense. So I mean, I think he's got another 2-3 years of being the best player on earth, and during those 2-3 years, depending on what decision he makes, if he can go get a couple of championships, there'd be a real argument there. But a lot of these guys, you heard a lot of the commentators, they were pretty bothered by the fact that LeBron seemed to have quit in this last game. And those who played with Michael were kind of all on the same page as far as that Michael Jordan would have never went out like that, would have never quit, would have never kind of just threw in the towel.
There's an argument that LeBron did not have that same leadership qualities as Michael Jordan, where Michael Jordan motivated his team. LeBron never really pushed his team to the brink, you think? Or
I think... I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to say. I mean,
because I've been hearing it's hard to play with LeBron. That's why I've been hearing.
I heard it was hard to play with Michael too, because you were either you were going to step your game up or you were just going to kind of get rolled over. But it's a completely different NBA too. It's hard to one player doesn't define a team anymore like they used to. I mean, you see that with the Golden State Warriors. How could you expect one guy to compete with a team that has three guys who could arguably be the guy.
To be honest, I really think LeBron needs that one more superstar, for Cleveland. I really think that he's just one superstar away to help him. But
yeah, you saw what happened when they had Kyrie Irving. He had somebody to lean on.
He really messed up.
Which is why I think next year Boston is a team to watch out for. All this talk about where's LeBron going to go.
LeBron's not going to Boston. He's going
to
play with
Kyrie. He's not going to go to Boston.
With Kyrie?
What I mean is if LeBron, regardless of where he goes, I think the best team coming out of the East is going to be Boston.
Boston.
And I think Boston has the players across the board to, put a good, really compete with
Golden State. They have
depth. They beat Golden State, I think, during the regular season, right?
They have
young players who are only going to get better.
Tatum.
They have an amazing coach.
Rozier.
And they have that guy, Kyrie Irving, who, in a clutch moment could step up. And I think they were missing that in the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron. So I'm excited about that team.
Of course, you're from Boston. You've been saying that. Can you give us a quick update? What's going on with the Patriots? Have you heard anything or what's going to happen next year?
Number 12 is coming back, so... So I don't know who your favorite is, man, but as long as that guy's on the field, I'm going to go with the Patriots.
You didn't think him missing OTAs is a big deal?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think when you're at that level and you've worked that hard to compete at that level, you come year one, year two, year three, you got some work to do to be able to compete in the NFL. But, when you're towards the end of your career and you're a veteran – it's just second nature, it's like riding a bike, right? So
how many more years do you think he's got?
I'd say probably maybe one or two more years. Like if he doesn't win it this coming year, which you always have to count the Patriots in the conversation just because, their system, their coach, and Tom Brady.
Tom Brizzle.
A couple more years.
I would say 1 year.
2 years max, yeah. Yeah, I think if he would have won the Super Bowl this year, he probably would have, went out on top and retired. He's got that itch. He was so close. I think maybe a sack away from possibly driving him down the field to win it all. So
you think this guy, Garoppolo, was like a huge issue? Do you think he...
Garoppolo seemed like he was a pretty good talent, and Tom Brady, I'm sure, has a little bit of pull in that locker room and with that franchise, so...
you're right. He might have said, hey, trade him.
Well, they say that Tom Brady doesn't even, as far as these backup quarterbacks, you would think that he's, quick to take them under his wing and kind of show them the ropes like most veteran quarterbacks do when they bring in young guys.
He's a competitor.
But he's such a competitor that, you're potentially his reason for the franchise to move on to somebody else. So he's not really looking, from what I understand, to help anybody. And there are reports that said that he was the one that wanted Garoppolo out and went to Robert Kraft and said, if you don't trade him, who knows what. But they say he had a lot to do with it.
Wow.
And Garoppolo's doing pretty well in
San Fran. Yeah, he won 7 in a row.
At least what he showed so far, yeah.
Yeah. Random questions. Ready?
Okay.
Can you survive in the woods for 1 month?
Sure. I think I need a little more context to that question. What are my resources, and do I have it?
Oh, you could take one thing with you. It could be a Swiss Army knife. It could be a knife. It could be.
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. I think you can.
Right. I think you'd figure it out at minimum. I'll slay a bear and I'll cook them and we'll eat.
What animal best represents your personality?
I got to go with some type of cat. Maybe perhaps a lion. I mean, at least I like to think so, right?
A feline. What behavior makes you think a person is creepy?
Well, if you invade personal space, that's always a little creepy. Like, there's always a little bit too close, right? Especially depending on the dynamic of the relationship. If you just met somebody, so if I'm networking and you're spitting on me, and we're just trying to figure out what we do and how we can help each other, then you're creeping me out.
Which musical artist is musically overrated?
Musically overrated. I don't know if I have an answer for that.
None.
Probably one of those rappers that these young kids are following this day, like that 6ix9ine guy.
Okay, never heard of him.
You never heard of him? Well, you don't want to hear him.
Okay.
Because
I'll keep that in mind.
They say he's like the best rapper in New York right now, the most popular. And like you listen to the music and you're like, wow, okay. I've lost touch.
What's something that cannot be bought or sold on the internet?
You can't buy passion. You can't buy that heart. You can't buy desire. You can't buy that drive.
And what's the weirdest thing that has ever happened in your car?
You don't want to know that. I don't know about the audience.
Well, it is a PG.
Yeah, right. To this, right. So, explicit. That might be a whole other podcast.
That's a Joe Moore, Rogan podcast.
You could. Right, right. I think, yeah, well, I probably just really had to go to the bathroom and I might have used one of my water bottles or something like that. We'll just use that story for now.
And has a teacher ever changed your life? And if so, how?
A teacher? Probably not a school teacher. More so maybe like, in the real estate world, I've had a couple of great people that I've worked with that I've learned a lot from that I've been able to work side by side with. And that definitely has made an impact, but I don't know about the school system, at least not Western High School. No pun to anyone else. Just going to Western in my head is.
And who do you have? Who's going to win this weekend prediction? Russia versus Saudi Arabia, first game of the World Cup.
Let's go with Russia.
Yeah, I think so. I think Russia should win that game. 2-0? It feels like it's going to be a 2-0 match.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I can agree with that. 2-0 sounds good.
And let's pick Portugal, Spain.
Spain.
By what?
I'd say 1-0. Spain usually doesn't score too many goals, but they they're a low scoring team, but they that team is just so stacked. And while Portugal has like a couple great players, they don't have as many across the board like Spain does.
I'm gonna say Spain 1-0. Well, I'm gonna say 1-1. I think both those teams need a good tie, and I think Portugal could be a dark horse. You're right. If there had to be a dark horse with Portugal in the NBA playoffs, it would have been Milwaukee. But they didn't go far.
No, man, not Milwaukee.
Milwaukee would have been a dark horse if they went deep.
The dark horse? Yeah, okay.
And maybe like New Orleans, Pelicans.
I think we always knew LeBron was coming out of the East and the Warriors were coming out of the West. There's no dark horse. I think the dark horse ended up being Boston, right? Because, we didn't
see that. Yeah, I didn't see Boston going that deep. Okay, and tell me, how can people reach you?
You can always follow me on Instagram. I'm pretty active on there, BJ_Posadas. And aside from that, BJ Posadas on Facebook. And through any of those two mediums, you're going to catch my content every day. And you can easily figure out where the rest of my contact points are through IG or Facebook for sure.
And if people want to buy a house, they could go through you, right?
Oh, 100%. If there's one way I could provide value at this point in time in my life, it's through real estate. And then hopefully as if I can reach different levels of success, then perhaps I can influence and have a greater impact in different ways. But for right now, that's my main focus, and that's where I'm looking to help people out. Second, if you want to come meet me in the gym, I'm kind of addicted these days, and I don't mind the company.
And where do you go for the gym?
I'm open to any gym, actually. Whatever's open, I'm willing to go in there and put some work in, but I do UFIT. It's most convenient.
How much can you bench?
Shoot, who knows? I haven't maxed out in a while. I could probably do 225 a couple of times, so that probably equates to one time, one rep of like 240. Who knows?
That's pretty heavy.
Maybe I'll go in there today and
you tell me.
Yeah, I'll find out and I'll reconfirm with you.
Well, BJ, thanks for coming on to the podcast. World Cup is coming up. It starts this Thursday, 11 a.m. Where will you be for the first game? Will you be working or will you be at a bar?
I'll probably be working or simultaneously working or telling myself I'm working.
Well, second half would be during lunch-ish.
Right, right. So I might have to probably link up with my dad somewhere and catch the game. Or if not, my Anglin Volker's office is in Las Olas, and there's plenty of places within walking distance. Yeah. To catch that first game where there's a TV. Mangos is right next door, so that might be the quick move.
There is a Russian community in Sunny Isles. I wonder if they're gonna watch that game.
Oh no, I'm in Fort Lauderdale now.
Oh, it's
right, the Las Olas office.
Okay.
So that's what I meant, that there's a Mangos there that's right next door to us. There's a Europa Cafe on the other side, and a few other great restaurants in that area. So it's not too hard to find a place to catch the game.
There's plenty of options. BJ, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure. First time doing something like this, man. This was fun.
And you were a pro.
Okay, cool. I appreciate the compliment. So we'll do have to do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Take care.